Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, CGRwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, UltraShot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use... And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits, everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. He's the 32nd Ward GOP Committee Chair in the Chicago Republican Party. And we want to, there's a lot going on right now in Illinois. Obviously, the governor has just signed a bill that allows for them to hire illegal immigrants. So not only are they going to hire illegal immigrants to serve in law enforcement, which, according to our friend, our mutual friend, David Shistokas, is unconstitutional. But in addition to that, they're also giving them $51 million to, you know, come on down. I want to welcome Stephen Bolton to the program. Stephen, welcome. Good to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Are you a lifelong or how long have you been in Chicago?
Oh, I've been in Chicago since 1984, even though I grew up on the East Coast. My mother was born and raised in Chicago after being born on a farm in Iowa. My grandparents are all buried here. I have cousins running all over town. So I've been in Chicago for 30 years.
Did you ever imagine, I mean, I know you had, you know, the Mayor Daley issues and you've had Democrats running things for quite some time, but did you ever imagine that it would get to this place?
No, Chicago, particularly the North Lakefront of Chicago, used to be a wonderful place to live. You had the lake, you had the beaches, you had restaurants, you had nightlife, you had libraries, you had everything you needed. And now it is all just spiraling down uncontrollably due to bad political decisions, bluntly. Just mismanagement, imposing woke ideology upon the government. A lot of different factors have done it, but it has completely changed.
There, we watched Mayor Lightfoot just, it seemed like to me, dismantle Chicago in her term. There was, you know, some outcry with regards to that. Has this new mayor been any better, or have they been worse?
Oh, no, he'll be far worse. He hasn't been in office very long, but by what he's already saying, he will be even worse than Mayor Lightfoot, if that's possible. Mayor Lightfoot, frankly, was just in over her head. She was unable to control the various power centers and factors in a very large city, a very complex city. It was she came in thinking she could control it all, and she couldn't. And because of that, everything just spiraled out of control. She turned vindictive and began to just play games, and everything just went down even further. And then we had an event that I think is very seminal in Chicago history that a lot of people kind of overlook, which was the riots after the George Floyd killing.
Right.
That essentially downtown Chicago was sacked, like the sack of Rome. And many people were just lost their businesses. There wasn't a pharmacy or a 7-Eleven that wasn't absolutely just ransacked in the Loop. Businesses were smashed. The Loop has never recovered. And when you smash a downtown area of a city, you can guess what happens to the rest of the city. And so that has just completely accelerated the decline. And that riot, and that's all it was a mob riot.
Right.
And that occurred one night because Lori Lightfoot didn't want to call out the National Guard against black protesters. So she kept the National Guard on the sidelines while I had police officers telling me, we were being told that Bloomingdale's, the department store, was being looted one block away. We couldn't go stop it because our orders were to stay at this intersection, because normally you would have the National Guard at intersections and the police could go and deal with things.
Right.
Since Lori Lightfoot didn't use the National Guard, the police had to stay where they were. Everything just essentially burned.
Wow. Okay. There's a buildup to get to that place. You talked about the different power players and what was going on in Chicago that Lori Lightfoot seemed to think that she was going to be able to control. Can you talk a little bit about those particular entities?
Well, yes. One part of it is that there's an emergence. Chicago has always been a hotbed of the socialist, the radical socialist sure. movement in America. International Workers of the World, the Wobblies, they started here. The Haymarket Riot was here. The Chicago Teachers Union, which is the oldest teachers union in the country and is a seminal public sector union, has slowly taken power in Chicago, first by getting aldermen by aldermen for those seats. And now they've made their big move and they've elected Brandon Johnson. He is virtually a card-carrying member of the CTU, and he is there to install their radical agenda. So it built up. The major factor here that she couldn't control is the Chicago Teachers Union. And we might think, geez, they're just teachers and librarians. No, they're not. What they are is a bunch of radicals who have taken control of that union and all of its money and all of its people. They have sold that union, at least most of that union membership, not all by a long shot. It's not homogenous. But they sold them on radical ideology. They are now hitting the streets in elections with money, with volunteers. And they were a major factor in getting Brandon Johnson elected. They've been a major factor in getting very radical socialist aldermen, city councilmen elected. And as a result of that, a left-wing element has slowly but surely taken control of Chicago. So we're about to become the new Portland.
Is it Portland or is it San Francisco or is it a combination
of
the two?
A combination of both. But I mean, San Francisco doesn't have the crime that Portland does. But I mean, right. we have a very bad crime situation in Chicago, and it's not getting better, even though statistically it's going down a little bit this year. Murders are down. A lot of other statistics are down, but they're down from almost record levels in 2022 while we have a much lower population.
Well,
a very bad problem.
Is part of the reason, I'm just guessing at this, but is part of the reason that the numbers might be down the fact that the police are not able to enforce, and so a lot of crimes are just really maybe just going unreported?
A lot of crime is going unreported because of the fact that nobody has any belief that the police will solve it. That's quite true. And also, much of the violence in Chicago, the murder, is between drug gangs.
So they're not going to, who are they going to tell? They're not going to say anything.
They don't tell anybody. They just go out for street vengeance.
Right.
So one side shoots, the other side shoots. Just like a mob war, quite frankly, a mafia war. One side shoots a guy, the other side guy shoots a guy, and the police are just desperately trying to catch up to situations that are electric as far as their violence.
Well, and the neighborhoods are held captive because even if a stray bullet hits an innocent person, for them to go forward and make a report and say anything literally puts their entire family at risk. Am I off base in saying that?
To a certain extent, but I think a larger part of it is nobody wants to go out at night. Who wants to go to a restaurant if you're going to get mugged on the way home? Who wants to go out and see friends if you're taking a risk walking home? The technique of the day is to steal an SUV. A group of guys will be in an SUV. They'll look at an unsuspecting victim literally just walking down the street, pull over, rob them, jump back into the stolen SUV, drive off. Eventually, they dump the SUV, and they're home free. Because, and this is another thing, because of new Lori Lightfoot rules that Chicago Police Department, the CPD, cannot chase these people when they see them because the city has paid out too many claims on accidents from high-speed chases. So they're literally telling these guys, don't chase them when the police see these guys taking off down the road. So they are acting with impunity at this point.
You know, there's a pastor there named John Eckerd that my wife listens to a lot. And several months back, he made a comment about it because he said that one of the people that goes to their church, she went out to her car and was carjacked in the parking lot of the church.
We had a circuit court. Our local court is the circuit court judge. We had, unfortunately, a very, very nice circuit court judge carjacked in her own garage on the north side of Chicago, where gunmen put it with her three-year-old son sitting next to her. Gunmen put a gun to the head of a circuit court judge while they were stealing her car and drove off with it. That's what's going on in Chicago.
And this is what happens not only when you say, we're not going to chase you, we're not going to enforce the law, But then you also have a revolving door, right? You have the cash bail revolving door system.
Now we have cash bail. J.B. Pritzker, in his wisdom, has signed a bill that everyone has railed against, which essentially bans cash bail in the state of Illinois. Well, that sounds like a good thing for criminals, but it's really not. And it might even be unconstitutional because it gives the judge two choices. The judge can either let him out on his own recognizance, or he can say he's a threat and put him in the Cook County Jail down at 26th in California to wait for trial there. So a lot of young men are going to go to jail that otherwise would be out on bail. So then there's a constitutional right to bail. So a lot of people are asking the question whether I think I'll bet David Shostokas, my friend, is saying there's a constitutional element to that because bail is going to be denied where it otherwise might be available, however high. But the bottom line about it is that the criminals are going to act with more impunity. There will be a revolving door. Most of them are going to be right back out on the street. And a lot of these guys don't care because they're fighting for living money. So you put them out on the street, they're going to commit more crimes because they got to get something to eat. And that's going to be I sometimes think our governmental policies don't deal with reality very well.
Stephen, that goes right back to the issue of all the businesses that have been closed, right? And business owners, and that are saying I'm not gonna put money into a business because there's a lot of risk associated with that. I'm not gonna put money into a business knowing that I've got no protection from the criminal element.
Well, retailers are already fighting against the online phenomenon that getting people to walk into stores to begin with is difficult. Then make it a somewhat suspect environment, and you're creating even more trouble. So there, yes, a lot of businesses, a lot of retail stores are fleeing Chicago, and the Magnificent Mile of Chicago, which many may remember, is a mere shadow of its former self. There's another element, which is the shoplifting. A friend of mine once went into a drugstore, major drugstore chain, went in and said, complained that things that were listed in the paper for discounts weren't available in the store at a discount. And the store manager explained that I'm being robbed so badly every day that if I sold anything at a discount, I'd go out of business.
Wow. Well, you know, I was watching a video, one of those reels that came through, and there was a guy that had a trash can. And he was at some drugstore. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember exactly what city it was in, but he was just scooping stuff into the trash can, right?
And, well, the impunity is real.
So let me show you what happened. So there was another guy that was videoing it, and he was standing with the owner of the store and probably his brother or whatever. And he's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And the owner of the store went over and grabbed the guy and body slammed him onto the ground, held him while his brother took a thin stick and beat him with the stick until he cried uncle.
Well, it's certainly rewarding to see a criminal get punished like that, the other element of it is somebody's going to get shot. One of these guys is going to walk in with a gun, and when he gets confronted, he's going to start shooting.
Yep.
So store owners are now putting their lives at risk to protect their own stores because it, as you say, it is a multifactored but mushrooming phenomenon that the criminals don't think they're going to get caught. The store owners don't think the police are going to come. Nobody thinks that anything bad is going to happen to these people for doing it. So we're left with vigilantism. We're left with people walking around with pistols on them to shoot people when they rob them. We're walking around with the store owners that have to have guns and have to be ready to literally physically defend their stores. This is anarchy, and this is what the woke mentality is bringing on, because our police force is understaffed. It is completely demoralized by the fact that the city government will not back them up.
Right.
So I don't blame the police at all. The police right now are trying their best, but they're being forced to fight with one hand tied behind their back. Anytime there's an incident of a shooting, the usual racialists go crazy and scream for the head of the officer when he wants to go home too.
Yep.
We had a recent incident where a young man was given a gun by a gang member, ran down a dark alley at 2 in the morning. A police officer was chasing him, knowing he had a gun, and in a dark alley in Chicago at 2 in the morning, and the guy turned towards the officer, and I saw the shadow. There's a shadow that looked like a gun. The officer fired, killed the young man. Turns out he had dumped the gun into the darkness a fraction of a second earlier. Everyone blamed the officer. And nobody's thought about the fact that the officer might want to go home to his wife and children that night.
Well, and the other part, you know, that's a decent segue. We're almost out of time here. But the other part piece is you mentioned the CTU and the influence that they're having, because they're churning kids out of these education institutions that are indoctrinated to believe these woke policies. And you know, one of their woke policies is we're hated by white people, and we should go out and we should rob white people and we should beat white people up.
Well, if you ask the CTU, they'll say they're not teaching critical race theory in schools. That's a bit of a language game, which the American left loves to play language games. And the language game is they're teaching every element of it.
Right.
They're just not calling it critical race theory. Yeah. So, if you teach 2 + 2 = 4, but you don't call it mathematics, aren't you teaching mathematics? So that's really what's going on in Chicago schools.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, you know, they're not educating. They're not doing any of the things that they're supposed to be doing. They are literally indoctrinating, whether it's the LGBTQ agenda, or whether it's, you know, hatred, or whether it's I have a right to steal because of something that happened 150 years ago.
Well, the Chicago Teachers Union will point to an 83% graduation rate at Chicago high schools. That is a complete joke, because only 10% of black students can read at grade level. Only 16% of Hispanic students can read at grade level. And the school population of Chicago public schools is overwhelmingly black and Hispanic. So what's going on is Chicago public schools are graduating people, but Johnny can't read. And the problem for us is the labor pool rots. The Chicago Police Department has turned away applicants because the applicant can't read well enough.
Right.
And our labor pool deteriorates. How is anyone supposed to come here and build a factory if the local population can't even read? So it's just a mushrooming problem. And the common thread is imposing these socialist radical policies that don't jive with reality. They only jive in an esoteric ideological sense to make any sense. And then you impose them and you get bad results.
And then you're going to entice the illegals to come to your city because you're going to offer them $51 million. And even the Democrats are saying, wait a minute, you can't stop.
Well, the interesting part about the $51 million is $47 million of it went to one company providing security services. And that is one month of expense for these radicals. And the other part about the migrants is that the common image on the left is that these are just poor, starving families trying to come across. That's not what's going on. The majority of them are young men. And we already are getting reports that open-air drug dealing is going on with the migrants. We're trying to film it, actually. But the point is that about half of the people coming over are street people. I'm not saying they're flushing out their jails, but these are street people. That's one of the reasons they're leaving. And when you put street people into an environment where they're going to learn to survive, and they see these people survive by drug dealing. And wherever there's drug dealing, there's going to be guns, because it's a necessity of you're going to be in the business of selling drugs, you're going to need a gun if you're going to stay in business very long.
Yeah.
So now we have drug dealing. Now we have guns. This is what's coming in. And the tensions, I can tell all of your listeners, the tensions in Chicago between the migrants and the local communities are absolutely at the boiling point, particularly between black communities that now have had a bunch of Venezuelans put into their neighborhoods. Now the migrants all have cars because the government paid for them. Mm-hmm. And then the drug dealing and everything else. And I've told people it's only a matter of time before the black drug gangs see the competition from these migrants and deal with it in a street manner.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, you basically what they're doing is they're setting Chicago up for massive gang wars. I mean, that's really what you're talking about, because a lot of these individuals you're talking about that have been coming across are cartel related. And so they're establishing areas that they're trying to control for the cartels. And now you're going to have cartels coming in, battling Bloods and Crips and whoever else is there. And everybody gets caught in the crossfire.
I drove by a street in Chicago. They actually have a whole group of migrants at what used to be a private club now in the middle of downtown Chicago, a block away from the federal courthouse. I drove by there literally two nights ago just because I was dropping off a colleague from work at the train station driving home. And I drove by, and what I saw standing outside on a street in downtown Chicago were maybe 40, 50 young men just standing there. nothing to do, no jobs, no prospects. And when that happens, those young men are going to do something about that situation. And it might not be, gee, I'm going to go to school and maybe go to church and maybe go help out at a homeless facility. That's not what they're going to be doing. They're going to be looking out for themselves in any way they can. And that's when the trouble is really going to start. Well, and I don't think Chicago's even seen the depth of the trouble that's coming.
Yeah. Well, and that in part two, and we could continue on with that, but that in part two is because the church isn't going in and is not, you know, able to be who the church is supposed to be, which would be really where these young people need to be able to turn. They're the ones that are going to be able to come in and, or normally would be the ones to be able to come in and help solve some of this. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of woke churches going on as well. And so that doesn't help the situation.
No.
Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So much to discuss with regards to this. Prayers for you and for the city of Chicago. And and we will we'll continue to track what's going on there. Thanks again for being with me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pastor.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. We come back. Don Jans will be with us. What happens when you have an uneducated electorate, a lazy uneducated electorate? Well, probably what's going on in Chicago. We'll be back to talk with Don Jans coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.
Well, thanks very much, Pastor. I'm going to sign off.
Okay, thank you very much.